I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Give yourself a delicious escape from the afternoon with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Ring, 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 ring. May I please speak with Zoe?
Oh, hello, Lamorne. Let's patch in Hannah.
God, I forgot what it was like working with you guys.
Welcome to our show.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to our show.
Welcome to our show.
Welcome to our show.
You ever been driving down a desert road in a small desert town with nothing in sight for miles, when suddenly, you're hit with a beam of light, and out of nowhere, there is this force. It's this force that's just, it's just pulling on you. It feels like it's calling on you. This unmistakable pressure pulling you into the cosmos. And then you realize you've just been abducted by aliens. Damn! I'm in an alien spaceship! Folks, that's what it was like the day this woman stepped on the scene in New Girl. I mean, the New Girl fans know her as Nadia, but we know her as the super talented and brilliant Rebecca Reed.
Wow.
Wow, what a introduction.
You know, Lamorne and I went back and forth who gets to introduce Rebecca. And Lamorne won. He really wanted to introduce you. And I am now so happy he did. Because instead of reading off of like IMDb, this man gave you the intro that you deserve. Because that is true.
Now I need to take my shoes off.
Yeah. And all the listeners out there, all the listeners out there, grab a towel.
It's funny because one time this publicist, when I first arrived in LA, said, "Rebecca, it's like you came fully formed from nowhere." I was like,
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're still friends now-ish.
That kind of. That kind of makes a little bit of sense. I do, you know, I remember when, like, I had no idea you were English when I met you. I thought you were Russian. I genuinely thought this, for those out there who may have not seen the episode, you play a Russian model on New Girl named Nadia.
Yeah.
And when you came on, I thought, oh my God, this is one of the funniest performances I've ever seen in my entire life. And I just thought you were Russian.
I thought I was Russian too.
I feel like it was maybe your second episode or something where I actually heard your real voice.
Yeah.
I think you stayed in character a little bit. Or maybe it was just that I only saw you in the scene because we were being pulled around so much first season. But it was a big shock to me when, yeah, you didn't have a Russian accent because you were nailing it.
But you know, it's really funny. June, who played Sadie, I saw her on set of the show that she was shooting, when, you know, with Jane Fonda, and I started talking to her and her face dropped and she was like, oh, I thought you were Russian. But do you know what's really funny? When I first put that role, in Hancock Park, a guy came and he handed me a manila envelope with recordings inside of how to do a Russian accent.
Wait, what?
Yeah, what? So from somebody who? came to my studio in Hancock Park at the time. I don't live in the studio anymore, obviously. I live in Malibu. But, but I was given a manila envelope, guess from producers, of how to do a Russian accent. So I was like, shit, they don't think I can do it completely. Oh, I better like see to this. So I never used those tapes. I went to this one woman called Jessica Drake, who works with everyone, really, like Steve Martin. And in all the accents he's done, she's worked with him. And she would find the comedy with Steve when they're creating accents. So I did my first... You know, I worked with her throughout the course of New Girl to make sure there was some consistency.
Mm.
So I always marked the scripts, you know, phonetically to make sure that I was hitting my mark with the accent.
How did you cope then with all of the alt lines and jokes? Because I imagine you got so many because you're so funny and the writers love to write for you. And they would just throw jokes out that you'd never seen before in this accent that you were, you know, learning and studying.
Yeah, I think I just, like, in the end, I just kind of knew that there was maybe three things I always had to do.
Mm.
And I always made sure I did those when it was like on the fly. But really, that accent opened up a whole portal of adoring dialects. And really going into studying, like I became a bit obsessed, not with just Russian, but like where different English dialects come from, the American dialect.
Give us a Jamaican accent.
I can't do a Jamaican accent.
Give us a Cameroonian, a Southern Cameroonian
accent. I feel like you actually, Lamorne, could do a Southern Cameroonian accent on the fly.
No, probably, but I don't know what it sounds like. I would have to hear it first.
Actually very good at accents as well. Like, I feel like on set, you would for some reason go around and be like, here's the difference between Australian, New Zealand, and South African. And you could somehow navigate those waters in like three sentences.
Honestly, it was because I didn't know who I was as a person, right? So I like to be other people because I was insecure. Now that I know who I am, I don't do accents anymore.
It's off the resume. You just like scrubbed off the bottom part.
Oh, yeah, I'm done. Done with
Rebecca,
it.
Just in case there is the one listener, because this is a New Girl rewatch podcast, so most people are here because they have watched and are rewatching the show with us.
Yeah.
But in case they've never heard Nadia.
Oh.
Do you have anything you could read that's next to you? In a Nadia accent, or you could say anything you would like about anything.
I don't know. I mean, this is a New York Starbucks coffee cup with my green tea that I drink every morning. I wish I had a husband who could make it for me, but I have to make it myself. I'm living alone in Malibu, looking at the sea every morning, wondering, where is he? Where is he? And all I see is little fishermen on their boats outside, floating by, looking for lobsters. But where the fuck is my husband? I better go to the smoothie. There's a juice bar in Malibu. It's like Predator. It's like people go there, like predators. It's like everyone at some point in their life will move through this juice bar. It's like I just hung out there. Eventually, I meet David Duchovny.
Is it like riding a bike? Are you just like back in psychotic, menacing Nadia land?
Menacing Nadia land.
Yeah,
I'll fuck you up.
Yeah. It's always just like a little delighted and violent.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's something. A little violent. Always. That's so funny. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So, you know, obviously when you came on the show, New Girl at the time was one of the bigger shows in television. Did you experience any experience any of that out and about with your character, because you have such a unique character and such a well-loved character? You know, I know we get it, you know, as, you know, as some of the main cast, but you know, there are a handful of our recurring characters that stick out and have their own, like you have your own Reddit page and all this stuff from your quotes and all this. Yeah, it's huge. So, you know, do you ever get people that come up to you and talk about the show with you?
Yeah, I do all the time at Gelson's.
No, you actually, know what, there's something about the supermarket that does give people, maybe it's because we're like all trapped indoors with a task, so they know that you can't like,
yeah,
you know, you can't just keep walking down the sidewalk and it'll be a brief exchange. Deeper conversations with people who've watched your work seem to always happen.
Yeah, totally. Always. It does. Yeah, it does happen quite often. Like, I think there was an instance a couple weeks ago. I was at a restaurant and the waitress wanted to have a chat. So I just had a chat with her. It was really nice. She took a picture. I don't like having my picture taken. That's the thing. So then I got her to show me the pictures and then I hearted the one and then I told her she had to delete everything out.
Did you really?
Yeah, I do.
That's a very Nicki Minaj thing to do.
No, I'm very controlling.
Yeah.
I'm working on it.
You listen.
I think that's fair.
You gotta know what you want. You gotta know what you want.
And Kevin
lives online then forever.
Yeah, I got a lot of photos out there of me that people tag me in, and my face is all weird. And
you don't want that.
My hairline is off, and I'm like, damn it, I gotta, you know. But you know, I don't know what to do in those moments. I don't want to be like, give me your phone and let me see, because I think people feel like because of my character on TV that they can beat me up.
Yeah, they can totally beat you up. Whereas my character, I can beat them up. Yeah.
That's true. They're going to listen to Rebecca because they know there's a little Nadia maybe that will come out. And she's like, give me your phone. They're like, sure, of course, absolutely. Here you go. No problem. Please do whatever you want with it. You can take it. Take the whole phone. It's fine. Okay, so we've dove straight in, and we haven't actually, I've never heard the story of how you got the audition for the show, how
really?
That went when you got the news that you were going to be on it. And I feel like it was only supposed to be for that one episode and maybe a couple words, right? And then it grew into something. So talk us through, because I don't know the story of Nadia getting onto New Girl.
Okay, well, I just came to LA because I'd broke up with someone and they bought me a small guitar and told me I should do stand-up in LA, and I actually took the advice.
Whoa. What's his name? Name
his name was, actually, you would know who it was.
Jeremy Piven, if you're listening, you're fucked up, man. You're fucked up, Jeremy Piven.
So wait, there's a video of you online that is so great of you at the Laugh Factory.
Yeah, that was my first stand-up.
Are you joking? Where you're playing the ukulele and eating a sandwich and singing the motherfucker song?
Yeah, motherfucker. So the thing is with that stand-up, it's like spliced, right? It's like my life and not real life, like conjingled together. Mm-hmm. And it was from that time that I did that stand-up that I booked Children's Hospital and worked with David Wayne. And then David Wayne, when I booked New Girl, was the director on that episode. So
by chance,
I think.
Wow, unless David Wayne's just a super fan and was following you in your career.
No, I don't think he's a super fan.
Well, that's amazing. So wait, how did you get the audition? Were you just within
This is the crazy thing. Mm. I got the audition through my commercial agent. It was a commercial audition because they wanted European models, and they went to the commercial agents. And so I was in the waiting room with all of these girls who thought it was a Russian model. So they like had like 80s makeup and everything. And I was just wearing this very beautiful dress that I had borrowed. And had no makeup. And I went in there and I just did these lines with a Polish accent because I had originally been doing a Polish accent for something else, and it was Eastern European. So I did this Polish accent. It was an under five, and the casting director, Jessica,
under just five really got, means
like under five lines.
Okay. Yeah.
Sentences.
And is Jessica Monks?
Yeah. She was in the room and we just had a real laugh. Yeah. And so I think I went back again. I think I may have gone back another time. And then my commercial agent said that I booked it. And then I thought I booked an episode of Gossip Girl.
You thought, holy
shit. And I didn't recognize Max. I was like, this is really confusing.
So you're not a gossip
wait,
girl.
When you got on set, you were confused?
I thought it was an episode of Gossip Girl that I was on. Hadn't heard
we get
of
confused
girl.
A lot. Gossip Girl, Two Broke Girls, New Girl.
So you hadn't heard of New Girl.
Game of Thrones.
No. Yeah. I hadn't heard of New Girl. I was working somewhere and the woman I was working with said, oh, you got an acting job. And I was like, yeah, I just booked a show called Gossip Girl.
They both have girl in the title, to be fair.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the other girl in the scene with me was actually a Russian model. And I always remember, bless her heart. That is so condescending when you say bless your heart.
Yeah. It usually means like, you're an idiot.
Well, after we shot the scene, I went outside and she was in crafty and she was sticking like about a dozen cereal bars in her pockets and in her bags. And I was like, what are you doing? And she's like, lose it for later.
Oh, my gosh. You know what? The life of an actor, man.
Life of a model. She wasn't an actor. She was a model.
Well, yeah. Mm. The entertainment business isn't as glamorous as you may think.
It is not glamorous at all.
That crafty comes in handy.
But I will say, if it's your first or second time on a set and people are just like laying out delicious snacks and there's no like rule board on there, I for sure am someone who's going to like pull up with like a little bag and be like, I might just take all these granola bars.
Let me tell you something. I still do it. I still, before I leave a set, if it's like my last day and in my trailer, they have snacks that are sitting in my trailer.
Oh, that's a full dump into the passenger seat.
Yeah. It's going in my duffel bag.
Really?
Yeah, it's going in my duffel bag. An ex-girlfriend who came to the New Girl set, and she brought her friend with her. Right. Lovely people. You know, they do well for themselves. Like, financially, they're fine. Her friend had never been on a set before. So she goes to Crafty. And she comes back and she's like, holy shit, they got everything in there. And I was like, yeah. And she went in the Crafty truck. And I said, yeah, they got a lot of stuff. And I was like, just grab what you want and just come kick it. And she goes, anything I want? I said, yeah, just that's what it's for. Just grab something that you I come back after we cut. I go back to my trailer. They're sitting in my trailer. She, no joke, has a grocery bag.
She's like, supermarket sweep. She's like, let's go.
I said, don't go shopping. What the hell?
She went shopping.
She literally went shopping. Yeah.
So your scene partner went and cleared Crafty.
Yeah, she cleared Crafty. I said, you shouldn't do that. But she didn't care. Yeah.
Did you model? Wow. You model for real?
I did.
In real life, how accurate was this? The New Girl modeling concept? I mean, because both of you played models together and you model in real life. You know, and obviously it's a comedy, but like some of the bits and some of the I don't know, storylines around it, is that any bit accurate to the real life?
Yeah, I tell you something. Okay, so when I was modeling in Paris, this is like a while ago now. I remember I was lining up outside this building. Literally, the line went down the street. All these models, men and women, it was for Lacoste. And there was a girl next to me outside, Russian. She was smoking. And it was really like getting in my airspace. And I said, would you mind smoke in another direction? And she replied, maybe you breathe too hard. So I kind of based Nadia on that one interaction.
I was about to say, I was like, is that the real Nadia?
Yeah, that is the real Nadia. I met her in a Lacoste casting years ago, which I booked, actually.
Really?
Did you?
Yeah, I used to like really book things like left, right, and center. I don't know what happened.
For the fans out there, if you're listening, right, please go and find this Lacoste ad.
Yeah, I tried.
Rebecca Reed.
You can't find it? Was it print?
No, was it? Yeah, it was. It was like literally. No, that was another. It was the. It's like a shipping thing, and because I'm very slim, all the clothes that were meant to be really big on me. I think it was a lookbook. Yeah, maybe it was a lookbook. I actually emailed Lacoste years ago and asked when I was trying to get my O-1 visa.
Lacoste, please, let's bring this back, okay? Whatever she was modeling, let's bring that line of clothing back, okay? We need the new girl fans to get the Nadia wear.
Nadia wear.
The Nadia Lacoste wear.
So how did the Nadia role then grow? Yeah. Do you know how it grew just from the one episode and the under five to you being a mainstay of the show?
Well, I heard from someone that you or Max said, oh, I like doing scenes with her. She's funny. To Liz. Is that not true?
I mean, that does. I mean, I loved doing scenes with you.
Yeah, I loved doing scenes with you.
Yeah,
I've never done scenes with you though.
Have you guys never done a scene together?
I don't know. So have we? I don't think so.
No, never.
Wow, is this the first time you guys are really meeting? Should
no,
I go?
It's not.
Is this an introduction chat? But you know what? I do think that it was because I remember just really learning on the fly a lot of things and. Building up the courage to use my voice in the first season because it was a lot of, you know, things going on for the first time for me. So I can't imagine that I would like march over to Liz, right? And understand I had that power to be like, I want to do more of that. I was just so happy to be there. But Max, I know is like loves you and is a huge fan of yours. So makes sense. And he was all way more seasoned on set to understand, do that, say that.
Yeah.
Then we get to work with all these funny people again. If Liz feels the same, and she obviously did. So that's it. That's really nice to know. I give that to Max, even though I probably had the same thought.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's the one who took action on it.
I do believe that. If you heard that, I do believe it was Max.
Yeah.
I believe it, though. That too. I just don't remember where from.
Yeah.
I don't know, but that's...
Maybe your Reddit page. You probably heard it from your Reddit page.
a super Nadia fan knows your story better than you.
Yeah.
That's really cool. And then when did they tell you that you were going to break his penis?
when I read the page.
Yeah. That was one of the craziest storylines I feel like I've seen on network TV, period.
Well, then I saw a penis that actually looked like what they said in the script, and I didn't even think that existed.
A broken penis, yeah.
Did you see this? I'm scared to ask. How did you see this penis?
I sent her a picture.
You have met before.
I sent her a photo.
You sent the weirdest dick pic of all time.
Broken,
you
know what's
really
Google
funny, though,
picture.
Is that I found this weird thing happening with New Girl. I book an episode, then something weird would happen. So in the first reading that we did, which was actually at Fox, you know, and we'd have like a huge audience.
Mm-hmm.
And so I left my Yves Saint Laurent blazer on the back of the chair and then it just disappeared forever. And then I booked another episode with the monkey thing, monkey, where you could. And then my cat called Monkey got run over by a car.
Oh boy.
So then, and then I booked, and then I was on set the next week. So when I said monkey no to Zoe, monkey no, it was like really like finding that my cat had died, like monkey no. So it's like, there was always like a weird kind of like thing that I would find in the script. So whether it was like the actual penis that went left, or the monkey, my little monkey cat that died, or suddenly my blazer went missing, or like there'd be like some weird like connection to the script.
Wow.
But I don't have that anymore because I believe in God and I don't do spells anymore.
I got to ask you, out of all those coincidences, which one has bothered you the most? I feel like it's the jacket.
Oh, yeah. Do you know, I do really miss that jacket.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit nfl.com/schedule-release to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with The 7 every weekday. So follow The 7 right now.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Welcome to our show.
I have to ask, because was it just doing research for like the episode that you Googled broken penis, or did you see one with your own eyes?
I saw one with my own eyes. I don't know whether it was broken, but like it went straight and then left. I didn't know that penises could ever do that.
The whole thing's gone left, the whole interview.
Yeah, the whole
I don't know if I was ever in that situation, if I would not be able to say something.
What?
I would just be so curious. I would want to be like, what happened? You yeah. born that way?
When did you
yeah,
turn
he was born that way.
He was yeah. born? Oh, you did ask. Oh, okay.
No, I just didn't ask. I just know. I mean, yeah, you wouldn't ask. You just assume, right?
I mean,
you could sleep a certain way for long periods of time.
Isn't that what like parents used to say back in the day? Like, if you keep your face twisted up like that, you know, the wind will change and it will stay like that.
It will stay like that. Yeah.
Scoliosis. It's the scoliosis of the queen. So pull out one ahead. You not only do you bless the stage, you bless our screens. You're so funny, but you're a writer as well, also a director. Producer, tell us about this short that you created.
Well, I love like telling stories based on real people. And so I found this story based on this ballerina called Francesca Mann. Mm. Not the happiest of stories. She was a ballerina during World War II. And she was, you know, she died in the gas chambers. But there was an eyewitness report that I came across that said that whilst everyone was, you know, getting undressed, something propelled her to dance. And I get very emotional when I talk about this because, you know, it's not comedy, is it? I mean, so, you know, she got the attention of a guard, and none of this was planned, and she, you know, was close enough to grab his gun and she shot him, and she shot someone else as well, another guard. And so I worked with this writer to retell this story in the form of a short. And I mean, I didn't really, you know, it wasn't really for anyone to see. It was really because, you know, we're all storytellers, and I felt I wanted to tell.
Wow.
That's
incredible. That's incredible that you...
How did you come across her story?
Well, I found this book called The Hotel Polski. And it was about how in World War II in Poland, in Warsaw, there was this scam about the Hotel Polski where after the ghetto was burnt down... what the Nazis strategized was to get the rest of the Jews out of hiding was that they was now selling these passports for North America and Israel. And so I read this account, and they kept on talking about, you know, people who had brought Jewish people unknowingly into this scam and were war criminals. And Francesca was mentioned as one, but I didn't believe that was the case. So I did more research, and I found this other eyewitness report of the actual night that this happened with her death. And I don't know, I just pieced everything together and researched who she was as a young, you know, she was 26 when she died, who she was and what her life might have been up into that time. And I don't believe that I feel that she was trying to save herself and her family, and she had good intentions. So I just, you know, over COVID, I just really researched this woman. I felt that she was, because she was a ballerina and it was in her body, that in this highly stressful situation, there was a force that moved her, and her body responded, not in the way that everybody else responded. It responded in a way in her last moments that she would be in joy. You know, that's how she expressed herself. That's through dance. And so she wanted to die in the way that she decided, even though that she knew it was imminent, but that she could have that one last experience as an artist. She was an artist.
Oh. Wow.
That's what I was exploring with that short.
Mm-hmm. And I wish I knew. I wish I knew. That's what it's called. I wish I knew.
I wish I knew. It's called Soft.
No. Soft. This one's called Soft. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I wish I had known. Oh, that's another short I directed.
You know what's so interesting? You're so passionate about your work and especially about this particular piece. I was talking about a completely different project.
I know. I was talking about my last project. I forgot about I Wish I Had Known. I'm sorry I get emotional. I just do. I am an emotional person. I can't help it. I try and keep it like all locked down, but it's just who I am.
Especially took it upon yourself to tell this story that I would say almost no one knows.
No,
and then put yourself in the charge of sharing it and the responsibility that comes with it. And then the gaps you have to fill in a way that you hope still honors, you know, the truth that you know of that person.
Yeah.
That I'm sure every time you share it, that would feel emotional because you're carrying a lot around that.
Yeah. Soft.
That was soft, yeah.
That was soft.
In COVID.
And can people see that?
I mean, no, like we submitted to it all to the festivals, but I think it got picked up a couple of places, but the next film I did called I Wish I Had Known did get picked up and win some like film awards and stuff like that. And that was about another project that I was working on, which I wanted to be a TV show, but then I didn't do it. The Wish I Had Known was actually a proof of concept. And I asked women from all around the world if there was one thing that they wish they had known about womanhood when they were a girl, you know, something that they had been told, what would it have been? And I asked, I think, 100 women, you know, not actresses in Hollywood, but, you know, from all over the world. And I learned so much.
What was the big takeaway that women shared?
Well, all those women knew me.
They all knew Larry.
They all knew who I was.
I think a big thing for me was that other women are not the competition. Mm. I think in our position, well, not for you because, you know, you're a mother now. You know, it's a different stage in your life. But, you know, you're kind of pitted against other women as a model and as an actress. And realizing that they're not the competition kind of takes a weight off. Mm-hmm. And to not blame your mother because you never know what she's gone through. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, it's okay to be a late bloomer, that we don't have to adhere to these timelines that the overculture, you know, tells us to. So, you know, you can start a family in your 40s and fall in love for the first time in your 50s or in your 60s. And, you know, life is always happening. You know, it's never too late.
I'd say I knew a woman started a family in the 70s. It was
God.
Like, man, you 78 years old. You popping out babies right now? Ooh. hey, grandma.
Well, it's not. Well, women in their 70s have gone through the menopause, and going through the menopause portal means that you're now a grandmother, or you will grandmother be that role model grandmother.
I mean, what would be the thing that you wish you had known?
I think I would have started therapy years ago. I think, you know, in the UK, we don't really do therapy. It's not something that you do. I think that, you know, therapy has given me a foundation. A foundation, you know, because I didn't really have a very stable childhood. And so therapy for me has kind of helped me, you know, have a stable foundation to now build my life on. You know, it's rather than be frailing all over the place. Do I do this? I'll do this. I'll do this. Like to have more of an understanding of why I'm doing things, more conscious of why I'm doing things.
Wow. Like just being intentional.
More intentional. Taking, you know, things less personally and really having more of a connection to God or love. God, love.
Right.
I find your answer to be a very profound one. Like, that's who you. I mean, obviously, comedy runs in your bones, but you're also a thinker. And you're a very thoughtful individual. If you were to ask me that question, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm an idiot. I would have said something money related. I would have been like, oh, I would have invested in Microsoft. I would have bought up all the Bitcoin. You know, I would have said something like that. And that that's why when I said in the intro that you were like this force who came on the show, you're very, very unique. You're a very, very unique individual. And we were just kind of blessed to have you as a member of our new girl family.
Thank you. Let me ask you a lot.
Yeah, let me ask you something, Lamorne, though, to reframe it, because it's funny you said that, and I'm like, for sure you would have deflected with humor, right? Yeah. But what would you want your daughter to know about being a woman? What's the lesson or the teaching you hope that she carries with her and you could give it to her now to make things a little easier or more joyous and better for her?
That I can't define what a woman is for her. You know what I mean? It's, I'll raise you the way I raise you. I'll teach you lessons that I feel will keep you safe and keep you strapped and ready for life. And then wherever you go at that point, I can't dictate that. I can protect you from a distance. You know what I mean? But the definition, I can't tell anybody how to be. That's something she has to kind of grow into using her and not to feel pressured to be something else, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Cause that's gotta be difficult too. I would imagine the definition of a man. That's a lot of times you, even as a man, you'll hear it, you'll go, a real man would do this. And I'm like, damn, maybe I'm not a real man. I would, you know, I didn't do things like you would have done things. So, and that's a big pressure for me. So I can imagine how it feels to be, you know, a woman having to feel that pressure. So I wouldn't want that pressure for her.
Right. It's funny though, right? As soon as it's about your daughter, then it's not deflected with comedy.
Mm-hmm. I could have.
Right. You went just as in the deep waters as Rebecca and that very honest, truthful answer, which
that is
really
true.
Nice.
I deflect because I don't have a good relationship with my father. No. Sorry.
You have a good relationship with your mother.
Oh, it's a great relationship. My mom is incredible.
She's the best.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Welcome to our show.
I mentioned something in the last deflection about Bitcoin and crypto. Bitcoin. And you do.
I love
now,
it.
Rebecca has been kind of schooling me offline about Web3 and the NFT space and the metaverse and, you know, essentially the future and so, and you know there's so much skepticism around it, and you know, people don't understand it, and it's weird for some folks, and you know, and some folks will be just fine without it. That's perfectly fine. But Rebecca, you are knee deep.
How did you get involved?
Yeah.
How did you learn about it? Who introduced you?
Who introduced me? Well, I grew up in London with a lot of British artists. And so I lived in East London for a while, where a lot of those galleries were coming up. And I stayed in contact with one artist who, when it was Bitcoin, called me to tell me to invest in Bitcoin, and I didn't. And then last year, around March, he called me again and was telling me about NFTs, and he wouldn't let up. He would call me, you know, a few times a week to tell me about this new space. And so eventually I started to listen and was reading up on it, and started to listen to the Defiant podcast. He's British, but he's based in Amsterdam. And then I started my own project called Audrey Mouse, which was a stand-up character that I've now imagined for Web3. And so I was going to do an NFT drop, but I stopped. I stopped because I ideated something else, which I think is more valuable to the space, which is I've created a VR shopping platform, bridging the gap between Web2 consumers and Web3. And Audrey Mouse is the Alexa, or the Siri, of this space. So she guides Web2 users, which is the internet as we know it now, to Web3. And what is a VR shopping experience? Well, up until now, we've known two ways to shop: brick and mortar. And the second way is Amazon and platforms like Amazon. And with Shopiverse, which is the platform I'm launching, it's the third way to shop. And we're calling this meta commerce. And I've started to dream in this way now. And when I wake up in the morning, I'm not kidding, a couple of weeks ago, I woke up and I imagined a sandal on my foot. I was thinking about buying the sandal, and I was like, woke up and I was like, oh. So in this platform, you'll be able to say to Audrey Mouse, Audrey, take me to, I don't know, Hugo Boss, take me to Tory Burch. And you'll be able to go into these storefronts and try on outfits in virtual reality, and when you're using the VR headsets. But we are developing it for desktop and as an app for your phone, but you will be able to use it to virtually try on clothing.
Wild.
So we're calling this meta commerce. And so, incredible. You know, the thing is with Web3, it's not going to take over the internet. It's about integrating into the internet. And so essentially, you know, what Web3 is, it's just based on the blockchain. And every cryptocurrency is based on its particular blockchain. And so with Shopiverse, it will be based on a blockchain. But what's interesting about this platform is that up until now, cryptocurrency has only been able to trade, buy and sell cryptocurrency. There's been no real life, you know, transactions that you can do, but in this space you can use your cryptocurrency. And we're also creating a play to earn game, so people can, you know, earn tokens, and then they can either exchange that for fiat or use those tokens in the Shopiverse.
Wow,
you should do a TED talk on this.
I was just about to
I
say,
I feel like you just explained that to me in a way that I could actually understand, because I'm so outside of all of that world.
Yeah.
But I think I understood everything that you said, because usually it all just will fly over my head just because I'm not
because there's no real use application. It's like, what the fuck is an NFT? I can't point to anything in the real world and say, oh, that's an NFT. So that's why people don't trust it.
Sure.
But literally, NFT is just a tech term. It's literally just a way of wrapping data, so your grandma can imagine something and an NFT can wrap data around it and then put it on a blockchain, whether that's on Ethereum blockchain or Polygon or Solana. These are all different blockchains.
That's interesting when you said she should do a TED Talk. So I learned a lot about crypto through Audrey Mouse.
Audrey Mouse.
Yeah, she sent me these instructional videos. So for folks out there who are a little skeptical or just don't know enough, because I'm still learning all the time, And I would like to say I'm fairly well versed in it now. But Audrey Mouse was kind of teaching me some of the basics, because once you have the basics down, you'll start to think in a different way. And it's just so exciting that I have a homie who's in the comedy space, is the TV film space, but also now in this space and understands me of what I was, you know, attempting to do or going through. And this character you created kind of helped guide me through that.
Mm. Yeah, I hope to do more with her. I really do want to position her not just in my app as a guide, but for other brands as well that want to bring their consumers from Web 2 and have that Web 3 experience.
Wow.
But yeah, I've done a few videos, and I think the reason why they're really effective is because every single word I'm saying, I wrote and I understand. It's like, you know, when you go and see a bad Shakespeare play and you don't understand anything, it's almost like because the actors don't understand what they're saying. Right. But when you go to a good Shakespeare and all the actors know exactly every single word, it's like you have a full experience of the truth.
Yeah.
And I think, like with these Audrey Mouse videos, I really wanted to understand the basics and then pass that on.
That's incredible. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just tuning in, we are here with the wonderful and talented actress, comedian, and Web3 innovator, Rebecca Reed.
Should we dive into the box?
We should dive
What's
into
that?
The box. You want to know what the box is?
I'm excited.
Nick's box.
Is it like the nerd jar? Not the nerd jar.
The douchebag jar.
The douchebag jar.
That's also, by the way, the fact that you would call Schmidt's douchebag jar the nerd jar is a very naughty thing to do.
Oh, 100%.
You're not a douchebag. You're a nerd. I can't do the Russian accent, but I can hear Nadia being like, oh, please, that's a compliment for an idiot like
and
you.
And I could see you playing a Russian spy. Work on the accent and I could see it happening for you.
Maybe if then Rebecca would just like dub voice me, then I could do it.
Just what with Jessica.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. Explain the box, Lamorne. Let's go.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this segment. It's a segment where we crawl into the back of Nick's closet. Okay, it's a lot of strange things in Nick's closet. A lot of sticky things, a lot of crusty
okay,
things.
Okay, this is not part
a lot
of the intro.
Of smelly, stained things in the back of Nick's closet. But when we're back there, what we're going to do is we're going to bypass all that trash and we're going to pull out some of the memories that the cast and crew of New Girl have kept hidden for years. So, Rebecca, what's your favorite memory from your time on New Girl?
One that just immediately jumped into my brain, like right here, was the last episode when I'm doing the speech to Jess. And Hannah is to my right and she's taking pictures of what I'm, just pictures, just as Hannah. And I think for the last take, I just like stormed off the front of the stage. I just remembered that. I'm not saying it's my favorite, but I just remembered that. And yeah, I just saw all little moments. Remember like the eggshells in the scrambled eggs for breakfast in the morning. Did Crafty mean to leave those eggshells in?
Yeah, I think so. It's a little treat. A little treat. We do a segment on our show called Where's the Bear? But in real life, it's kind of like, you know, find the shells and the eggs.
Oh, wait, okay. Is this real?
No.
I just thought of my favorite moment. I got to say, when I did a John Patrick Shanley play, I understood what acting was for the first time because my molecular structure and my patterns changed from Rebecca to this character that I was playing, Donna. And then when I worked with Max, something else happened because I had decided on the script how I was going to play the scene, and then I had to surrender everything over because how Max was looking at me in the moment when we did that Mick Mouse scene, I had to throw everything away and just be there with Max present and saying these lines to Max, and all of my preparation out the window, very, very present And that was my second big acting lesson, was with Max. And the lesson was being present. I felt so alive in that scene with him, with Mick Mouse, because I was discovering things for the first time. Like, I remember looking at him one time and thinking, "Do you think I'm stupid?" That was Rebecca's thought. And then it came out in the Nadia voice. Yes. So I think that was probably one of my favorite experiences. And then, because I think that was like the first time where Liz would then throw lines, but it was before they would write them down and leave them in your room. It was when Liz was on set and she would shout, "Say that," or she'll come up to you and say, "Say." And so she would say, I remember her calling over and saying something, and then I hearing people laughing. I was like, "Oh, am I funny right now? Is this funny? Because I really think that Max, this actor, thinks I'm stupid."
I honestly think there was a handful of people, less than a handful of people, who, when they would come to set and we knew they were going to visit us, we all immediately became unprofessional because we were so excited they were going to be there. And I feel like I can speak for myself, then I was not a very good scene partner, because I was like, Rebecca's such a strong actress. She's so funny. She has this character that I'm not going to be sitting here as Cece. I am Hannah. And I'm going to break the entire time and laugh and watch this incredible performance. And I know that's not going to bump you because you're amazing. And I feel like it was just like a joyous thing. And I feel like Max kind of felt the same way, where, okay, maybe you had Schmidt sometimes in the scene, but I think a lot of times off camera, when it was turned around on you and he's sitting off camera, I'm sure he was just sitting there as Max.
As Max.
Laughing his ass off because you're just so funny.
I think I remember that time when we did one of our first scenes together, Hannah, in Cece's apartment, and why I have to answer the door to Schmidt. And I remember doing that scene on Gossip Girl. I thought I was on still. And I said to Max, in between, I was like, "Am I doing okay? Do you think this is okay?" He's like, "Yeah, you're doing great."
I think everyone was so surprised. I think genuinely everyone was so surprised, because I feel like a lot of times you step on a TV set and you're the new kid in town and you just go like, "I just want to get in, say my lines. I'm not going to take any risk or chances, do anything differently, and get out of there and hope that they like me," right? We sit in a place of fear, right? And you came in and had built this whole character, this whole world for her. You were so committed to it. And we all kind of just, whenever the Nadia character was on the show, we all had to join Nadia's world. That was just the way of it.
Well, that's
what
you do.
Nadia never integrated into our world. If Nadia was there, we were in her world. And it was awesome, Rebecca.
That's exactly what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to, it's like basketball. I always have basketball references because I'm a huge basketball fan. That's the only thing I can relate real life to. You have somebody who comes in and their specialty is scoring. Like, you have to get that person the ball. Like, we can do everything else. Just get that person the ball.
That's
like,
right.
That's it. Like, she's going to score. And that's where the money is whenever she's there. These are where the jokes are going to come from. This is what's going to keep the eyeballs on the screen. And we think you did a fantastic job.
Yeah, it was like the greatest day. When we would see the next episode, Nadia's back for whatever it was, everybody got excited because we know that if we got to share a scene with you, we could sit as us and enjoy a performance, and who knows what direction it's going to go. And that's the best. That's why you feel alive in something. Yeah.
I think that's one of the best things about acting. Well, I think in comedy is that alive feeling. But I mean, you guys are doing this like full time, like amazing. I mean, on it all the time. So I was just getting into and like having a little taste. But I do really understand how special the show is and was, because the alchemy of all of you together is like, that was the jackpot, you know? It doesn't happen all the time. I was a series regular on another show And I was like, and New Girl and Children's Hospital were my only other, you know, comparisons. And I was so excited to book this series regular. I was like, oh my God, it's going to be like my own New Girl. It's going to be amazing cast. I'm going to love them all. Friends until we die, you know. And it wasn't like that at all. Like, I got hives from the stress.
Jesus.
Right. I mean, people say that to us all the time. And I've never had another experience prior to it, right?
Mm.
So it was my first time. And so, like you, I was just like, well, this must be how it all works.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, well, wait till the show ends one day and you go into the real world.
I got lucky because on Woke, the show I'm currently on, we get along famously.
Yeah, you guys look like you have a lot of fun.
We have too much fun.
Like, guys, we're going to have to wrap this up. And yes. I will say, this episode I love so much because it is so true to the spirit of you, Rebecca. This is one of the most unpredictable, wonderful conversations I've had in a long time. And I've learned so much. I've laughed. I've cried.
Oh, I did.
Yeah, I cried too. I was crying with you. I mean,
I didn't cry
because
I'm a man. We don't cry. That's what I was told.
I saw at least a little tear in the corner of your eye.
No, I was damp in the ducts. Just a little damp.
And you may have thought when you tuned into this episode at the top and heard Lamorne's intro, like, that seems like a little much. And now after sitting here for an hour with Rebecca, you understand, if anything, it was an understatement instead of an overstatement. You are a light and a force, and we love you. And thank you so much.
I love you guys too.
For coming on to welcome to our show. And I would like to dedicate this episode to Monkey, because I didn't know that you had lost Monkey the week before and then have to come and repeatedly say your sweet cat's name over and over again. That must have felt so strange. And I didn't know it at the time, but I know it now. So to Monkey, we love you and thank
Monkey.
You for loving
I still have
Rebecca.
Her name tag.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Aww.
Well, Monkey. We love you, Rebecca. Thank you for coming
love
on
you
the show.
Love you, too. Love you, Hannah. Love you, Larry.
Love you.
Thank you so much.
And if you guys love Monkey, please like and subscribe. Give us 5 stars. And remember, always wipe from front to back.
This is honestly, next time, Rebecca, we do this, it's just you and me.
Okay.
Bye, you guys.
You've been listening to Welcome to Our Show, a New Girl recap podcast. Welcome to Our Show is a production of iHeartRadio, hosted by Zooey Deschanel, Lamorne Morris, and Hannah Simone. Our executive producer is Joelle Monique. Our engineer and editor is Daniel Goodman. The Welcome to Our Show theme song was written by Zooey Deschanel, performed and produced by Zooey Deschanel and Pierre DeReeder. Follow us on Instagram at Welcome to Our Show Pod. If you have a question you'd like us to answer, you can email us at welcometoourshowpodcast@gmail.com. Don't forget to rate, subscribe, and share far and wide. Thanks for listening. We'll hear you next week.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeartRadio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
You've probably heard a lot about electrified vehicles lately. Well, Toyota has electrified options for every lifestyle. We've got hybrids, no plug needed.
All right, let's go.
But we also have plug-in hybrids, if that's your thing. You can even go 100% electric in the Toyota BZ4X. With so many options for reducing carbon emissions, Toyota is electrified, diversified. Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.